world gone dark. The second, because of the day, will be of Pentecost. Both hope messages hopefully will blend together to give one consistent theme. You see, sometimes the world, despite our best intentions, despite our hard work, it invades our mind. Satan does this. He can either be fast, footloose, furious, and hit you in the face and you know straight away, no, that's wrong. Sometimes he can be really sneaky. And it comes from popular culture mostly, or in today's world, the internet, Facebook, Twitter. Has anyone here heard of OnlyFans? It's a site where young ladies can go and show their treasures for money. Popular culture. We really need discernment. But what's more, our families need discernment. Our families need wiser words and wiser heads to guide, to be with, to show by example. The worst way Satan works is for a short time he builds you up. But he builds you up with lies. Satan was a murderer and a liar from the first. We've got to remember that. You see, he gives us songs to sing. And we think, oh, that's nice. And it rattles around in our head for months. It reaches number one. But suddenly, the damage is done. If I can ask you to play number one for me, please, Peter.
Which one is this? Which one,
though? This is the one from the film. It will come. This isn't Peter's fault. Well, this is just pure technology. And perhaps Satan doesn't want this message getting through, so he's just putting gremlins in the work. But we're going to make it get through, because you need to know it. Yeah.
With so many holiday homes on Booking.com, there are so many Tina Fey's I could be.
This isn't so, it. This is an advert.
I'm not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, save me from your broken hearts. Learn to be ashamed of all my scars. Say, I love you as you are, but I won't let them break down.
Good song, innit?
Yeah.
Perfect David voice, good song, innit? Ask yourself, what are the lyrics suggesting? Because we're going to break this song down. What are the lyrics suggesting? What is the theme of these words, of this song? It seems so... okay. C.S. Lewis, we all know him, a Christian apologist, an author, great storyteller. In his essays, now I've got to read this because you'll understand in a second. In his essay, Bluff Spells and Flalan Ferries, Lewis asserted that reason serves as a natural organ of truth. Reason serves as the natural organ of truth. While imagination is the organ of meaning. He believed that we truly understand a word or a concept when we can visualize it. It's why I put the video up. It's why I've put videos up in the past, to emphasize a point, because you can see it better, can't you? Throughout his writings, Lewis, he adeptly weaves images through metaphors, analogies, and he weaves these into his arguments with vivid illustrations that help his readers grasp the meaning behind his ideas. For in the book, The Weight of Glory, which I really heartily recommend you read, he writes, "Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum, because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea." Here the contrast between mud pies and the holidays by the sea illuminates our tendency to settle for lesser pleasures. Through imaginative narratives, Lewis aimed to awaken readers to deeper meanings, spiritual realities, spiritual dimensions. Satan can use those self-same methods as our good C.S. Lewis to paint his picture. Have you got those pictures, Peter? Are they available? The Eurovision one or the one with the lady? Or both? Again, it's a short video. It's about a minute long. Can you pause it? Thank you. Look at that picture. Does anyone recognise it? No one? I'm so glad. That's the Eurovision Song Contest. The winner is the man on the... dressed up in pink and white and beige. It's transsexual. The woman is from Ireland. She's a self-proclaimed witch. What's she just crowned him with? It's bad. It's not Peter's fault. He wasn't expecting me to say this, but if you look closely, it's a crown of thorns. She crowned him with a crown of thorns, a witch. This is blatant, Satan. This is blatant. You can see it. I've seen some of your faces in reaction to it. This is blatant Satan. This is Satan hitting you in the face with a roller pin. He's out there, my dearest friends. And I'm sorry to bring this subject up, especially on today, but today of all days, you need to be reminded, not just you, but our listeners on the internet, our children that will come to hear this, our grandchildren that listen to this type of rubbish without thinking. There is danger out there. And I can only, as giving you this sermon here, your friend, warn you about the blatant Satanism that is out there. Don't worry about the other picture, Pete. That tells us more than enough, and I don't want to give Satan any kind of room in this house of God. You only have to look around at how sneaky Satan can be. Again, let's look at modern life. It's from the monster cans of energy drink. You've seen them, haven't you? Well, those monster cans, they spell an M. But they also spell Vav, 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 Hebrew. And the Vav, Vav, Vav has a numerical meaning. You're all age-old Christians. What is Vav, 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 a numerical meaning? Thank you. It's the number of the beast. When you turn the can upside down, there's an upside-down cross. So as you're drinking, you're looking at an upside-down cross. There's a great video of an American woman who breaks down the monster can with all of its Satanism in it. And whenever I speak to anyone that's drinking it, I tell them, why don't you drink some Red Bull? Go to music. Look at some of the albums that's out there. They've all got one eye closed and poking their tongue out. It's an old sign of Satan. How many music stars have admitted, I sold my soul for fame and fortune? Better yet, how many people, I won't raise my hands to show it because I refuse to, but there's the old hand sign that people can give. It's a sign of Baphomet. It's really popular in today's culture. You see, it makes Satan look cool. Or in modern parlance, wicked. Wicked man. That's just wicked. What did Jesus say about these days? In a world that often asks us to hide our true selves, to conform, to fit into pre-made moulds, the call to discernment is something we really need to listen and understand, because it brings about an authenticity in us that no one can deny. It's a journey to discover, embrace the unique individuals we are created to be. Each of you have worth. In today's world, you're not worth anything unless you're cool or wicked. Going back to our song that we've just sang. Verse 1, I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken parts. Life's challenges and voices of society can lead us to hide our flaws and imperfections. Yet discernment, holy discernment, invites us to bring our whole selves to Jesus. To shine a light on our darkest places. And I say a light, but what I mean is the light of truth. Because we know we're broken. We know that we can't do it without Jesus, without the work of the Holy Spirit, and without Father guiding us, loving us regardlessly. The bridge states, and I know that I deserve your love. There is nothing I'm not worthy of. Discernment leads us to the profound realization that we are worthy of love and belonging. You are all worthy of love and belonging. And I challenge each and every single one of you that when you meet a fellow Christian, you tell them, I love you. I love you. How many times have you heard me say it to you in our passing? I love you. And I truly do. There isn't a bullet I wouldn't stop for any one of you. Discernment leads us because it's an affirmation that we deserve to be loved, not in spite of our imperfections, but because of them. The conclusion of the song sings, look out, because here I come, and I'm marching on to the beat I drum. As we discern our true selves, we learn to march to our own beat. We're not part of this world. We're here, but we look to another world. Another life, another love. One that brings hope and not breakdown. One that brings joy and no tears. One that is true with no lies. We throughout scripture, I won't give you the scriptural verses. You're all good Christians. You know who I'm talking about. The Father has used people to go beyond themselves throughout scripture. Let's stick to the Old Testament right now. From Isaac being blind, to Jacob limping, to Moses stuttering, and many more, we can see that God uses anybody he wants to get the message that he wants. Let's move on to the New Testament. Even Jesus has this. He has a boastful Peter, my apologies. But he has a boastful Peter. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. But he also has a Saul who tries killing his church. If you think you are weak, be prepared to be used by God. If you think you are small or old, be prepared to be used by God. If you are disabled or have a reason to hide away because of mental scars or baldness, be prepared to be used by God, because he picks the weakest in us to give his deepest meanings to his message. Now I'm going to play the same song again, but some different people are going to sing it. It's a long video, so apologies for that. But again, the technology is not allowing us to crop to make it shorter. But I think you'll find joy in this song. Number two, please, my friend. It's really at times like this, isn't it, that you appreciate just the skill it takes to do that job. So while we're waiting, would you give a silent prayer to Peter and to the whole team that does that job, week in, week out, being that you don't even see or need to know it, and it's at days like this that you know just how good that our team of audiologists are at this time.
You'll find stylish offers and low prices. By thousands of...
Hello, please introduce yourselves.
So I'm Jane, and what's your name? Christian. Christian is our little brother, and we're signing along with us.
How old are you?
I'm 18 years old, and how old are you, Christian?
What are you going to do for us today?
So we're here to do some sign language and some singing.
Brilliant.
Thank you. We were told that Christian would never be able to communicate. I taught him sign language so then he could talk. And he's here, a little miracle, proving everybody wrong.
I'm good too.
I'm Ella and I'm 12.
Are you excited to see Simon
Cowell? Yes. Yeah, I'm in love with him.
Ella has actually met Simon before. She won the Child of Courage Award at the Pride of Britain 2019.
You are sweetest, greatest little girl, and you deserve this. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We wish you all the best.
Say thank you.
Don't go email. system for people who maybe don't feel part of the world or part of anything. And I just found it really, really moving.
Thank you.
It was absolutely brilliant.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I genuinely can't find the words.
Amazing!
Thank you!
And Christian, you are an absolute little star, so thank you.
Thank you.
I have to confess, I have a friend of mine in this choir. Ella. She's never the pride of Britain. And I heard Ella sing, and I said, I have a feeling one day you're going to be auditioning on one of our shows. And guess what? You're here. And you're saying, this is me, and I'm thinking, you are us. Because you define what this show should be all about. This is an audition I will never, ever forget.
Thank you.
Every one of you gave everything to this performance, an amazing positive message to put out there, and all I can say is...
First, full of pride, rebellion against society. The second, full of joy, humility, and bringing everyone together. Do you see the difference? How sneaky Satan can be. I saw the smiles on your faces. I saw the tears in your eyes for that second one. You instinctively knew the difference. Please have discernment when you go out there. The second part is to celebrate today, Pentecost. The account of Pentecost in Acts 2 reads as follows. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show you wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now I must really highlight just how the Holy Spirit acts as a guide, a counselor, and a source of wisdom for all believers. In John 14:26, it mentions that the Holy Spirit teaches and reminds believers of all Jesus said. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11 shows how the Holy Spirit will equip believers for discernment. Peter's discernment in Acts 2:14-36 that I've just read to you, where Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, discerns and interprets the events of Pentecost, preaching boldly to the crowd. A man just hours earlier, scared and hiding in a room, is now speaking to the world boldly. Paul's missionary journeys, referenced in Acts 16:6-10, where Paul and his companions are guided by the Holy Spirit on where to preach the gospel, showing reliance on divine guidance. How do we practice discernment today? Prayer and meditation. It really is important to reach out in prayer and meditation to seek the Holy Spirit's guidance for personal and communal issues. Scriptural foundation means to get used to reading the Bible, and I'm sure you do already. Read it daily, even a short paragraph or two. Read it, understand it. Meditate on it. Look to help from the Christian community. I call you friends. Where else would I be if ever you asked me, "David, what does this mean?" And I hope that if I came to you, being older and wiser, in some cases, much older, and asked you a question about Scripture, would you deny me your meaning of it? No. You tell me, "Dave, well, I think it means this." We learn from each other as iron sharpens iron, don't we? Speak to your friends. Bible study. Pete holds a great meeting. We have other people in the church that hold other meetings. Speak to them. Ask. They'll give you meanings. Love. And they'll give you love. Now, personal desires and biases can cloud discernment. And the importance of surrendering to the Holy Spirit, you see in Ephesians 6, verses 12 to 18. And it addresses the realities of spiritual opposition and the necessity of being vigilant and prayerful, where it states, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. Then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for the Lord's people." How many of you got the armour of God on right now? Every single one of you. Because if you break down Ephesians, it's what you're given when you accept Christ. Every single one of you have the armour of God. You've got the Bible, which is the sword. You have the shield of faith. You believe in Jesus. You have the shield. You have the helmet of salvation. The belt of righteousness. The breastplate. All of you have been given this. So when is the day of evil? Anyone? Every single day. When in the day? Any time. Because you could be faced with someone at any time who says, "Yeah, magic man in the sky, you're crazy for being a Christian." You might have to put your armour on right there. Boom. Draw your sword from the scripture that you read every single day and say, "No, the Bible says." Just as Jesus did when he was tempted by Satan. Three times Jesus answered Satan with scripture. Follow his example. You will be tested. You see, for some of you, being tested once is a great thing. You know, it's something that is... We live in England, come on. We hardly get pressured at all here, do we? We might not like the politicians, and we might not like... things are about us, but things are getting darker. You will be tested one day, somehow. And that's what this scripture is for. For you to know and trust and love and answer scripturally, to love your enemy who stood in front of you, and let your faith be your shield. Let God's word be your sword, and let your love come because Jesus commanded you to love. I can only encourage you on this day, on this wonderful day, to seek the Holy Spirit's guidance in your daily lives and decisions. I started the sermon with a song full of pride, and the other that we have just seen full of humility and strength. I went on to the discernment that God gives us all. And I've shown you that you all have the armour of God. You all have the sword of truth, the sword of the gospel, the shield of faith. Salvation is your gift. Amen. Our next song.